Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Praise God. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Before I get into the word this morning that I felt to share with us, I want to read us a portion of scripture that just came to my mind as we were reflecting and as we were worshiping now, and just about the Holy Spirit. And it's Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Wow. That's meaty. I could read that for the rest of my life and just soak in that. And what I want to highlight is verse 13. It says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And I want to say this morning that the gospel has an end to it. There's a certain goal that God had in mind when Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins. It was so that He could come and make us His dwelling place, so that the Holy Spirit could live inside of us, that the living God, the creator of the universe, the omnipotent God, the all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe, would dwell inside of you and me. That's no small thing. That's no small thing that we just read over and just carry on with our lives. The truth of that reality needs to drastically transform us and change us. And I want to say this morning that the message that I have is reflection on the fact that we are saved, that we are being saved, and that we will be saved. Did you know that? That is the outworking of the salvation that God has purchased for us, is that we have been saved when we put our faith in Jesus, when we repent and believe in the cross of Christ. We have been saved, that we are being saved, that we are being transformed into the image of Jesus, that we are being made into the likeness of Christ, and that we will be saved on that day when He returns to come for a pure and spotless bride. And the word this morning that Errol, the tongue that he brought and the message that came with that, is that He is returning for a pure and spotless bride. And the message that I have this morning, I want to focus on the second part of that salvation, which is that we are being saved, that we are being made into the likeness of Jesus. Day by day, we are being transformed, glory to glory, to reflect Him and to look more like Him. Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, that He paid the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is that we should die, that we deserve death. That is the penalty that God gives for those who have cursed him, who have turned against him, who have sinned against him. It's the penalty of sin. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that God is breaking the power of sin over our lives. And that when he returns one day, that he will free us from the presence of sin. And so this morning, I want to focus on what God has done through the resurrection to give us power to war against sin and to live for God. And so this morning, the scripture that I want us to dive into is Romans 6, verse 3 to verse 13. And if you have your Bible with you, you can turn there with me or you can just follow along on the board. Romans 6, verse 3 to 13. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also, and this is the key verse that I want to focus on this morning. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Whew. This is powerful. In other words, what happened to Jesus, the fact that he died and that he rose again, is true for us as well. And that through baptism, through us believing in Christ, being baptized, we have participated and we relate to the same death that Jesus died, the same cross that Jesus bore. And we have been raised into newness of life. And what I felt this morning, I think, Chloe, you brought a word in the prayer meeting about don't you just want to come and share that word? I'm not going to do justice. But when you said it this morning, it's so in line with what I felt for us this morning.
This morning during prayer, I was reminded of the time when Jesus had died and the disciples were in despair because they didn't know that he was going to be raised to life again. But I kept hearing these words, you know, the being restored when we wait on the Lord. And that in waiting, there's actually a promise. There's always a promise of strength, but also a promise of God being faithful in meeting us.
And so if there is weakness in our midst this morning, if you feel tired and heavy laden, come to Jesus this morning. And I want to bring this message this morning as a reminder for those who believe that the work that Jesus did on the cross is a finished work and that we are not victims. That we are no longer victims to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have been set free. We have the power of the living Christ living inside of us that gives us power. Power, 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 power. Amen? There's power for us this morning. And so the first point that I want to make this morning, if you look at verse 11, you can just go back to verse 11. It says, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And so the first thing that I want to say to us this morning is that we need to consider ourselves. What is our identity before the Lord this morning? What is our identity? In other words, what is our relationship to sin this morning? And maybe there's some of us, you're struggling with sin, you're struggling with repetitive sin going on in your life, and you feel like you've gone five rounds and you're against the ropes and you feel like you just can't beat this thing. And I say this morning that there's power. Your relationship to sin, as the scripture says, is that you are dead to sin. You are dead to sin. Verse 6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to what? To what? To nothing. So that we are no longer enslaved to sin. And the body of sin here refers to our desire and our natural inclination to want to sin. Right? There's in our old self, there's a natural tendency to be drawn towards sin. Our flesh, we love sin. The natural man loves to sin. And this scripture says that the cross of Jesus in our lives, that as we relate to his death, that the body of sin has been brought to nothing. Through our being born again and being made a new creation in Christ, our inclination and our default setting is no longer to love sin, but to love God and to hate sin. That is our default setting as a believer. The power of sin is broken over our lives through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us to give us the power and transforms us to give us growing desire for Jesus and for righteousness. We who were once slaves to sin are now slaves to righteousness. Secondly, that scripture refers to our relationship towards God. So we are dead to sin. And secondly, we are alive to God. We are alive to God. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 5 says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so, if we look at this scripture, we see that actually, all of mankind, before we are saved, before we give our lives to Jesus, we are alive to sin and we are dead to God. I remember before I got saved, my favorite vocabulary was to swear. Man, my mother's here, she doesn't know it. I used to love to swear. The music I listened to was all about swearing. I used to curse like a soldier, or like a, what did they say, a pirate, a sailor. Okay. And you know, when you are a sinner, when you are dead to God, your conscience does not knock on the door and say, hey, what you are doing is wrong. Can you guys agree with that? Right? You do things that are natural for you, and you don't think there's anything wrong with that. In other words, we are very much alive to the sinful nature, and very much alive to sin, and we enjoy doing sin. And we are dead to God, as if God does not exist, as if he is not there, as if we would live forever and we do not have to give an account. Romans 1 speaks about, even though they knew God existed, they did not honor him as God. And that's the story of our lives. All of us, our default is that we love to sin. We are alive to sin and dead to God. And we are controlled by our sin. And when sin comes and knocks at our door and that desire arises in our hearts, we don't need to think twice to give in. But when we are born again, when Jesus comes and makes his dwelling place inside of us, there's an awakening of our conscience to the reality of God's presence in our lives. And now, when I got saved, I cannot just drop F-bombs. I cannot just swear. And when I do, there's something inside of me that feels guilt, that feels pain, that feels, it just feels wrong. You guys can relate to that, am I right? And that is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. That we were once dead, and now we are alive to God. And this is our standing, and I want us to consider this. And maybe you have forgotten this this morning. You've forgotten in your battle with sin. And I specifically felt that this morning. In our battle with sin, maybe some of us have become hopeless. And the reminder this morning is to consider yourself. Who are you in Jesus? What does the death and the resurrection of Christ accomplish in your life for you who have believed in him? You are victorious. That when we sing, "O death, where is your sting?" Our King is a resurrected King. We can say, "And me." And me. Our King is a resurrected King. Death, where is your sting? Me too. Death, where is your sting in my life? Where is your sting? Sin, you have no hold on me. And I feel this morning there needs to be an awakening in our hearts and saying, we are not going to be cavalier with sin. We are not going to entertain thoughts that keep us from the Lord this morning. I've been speaking to some people in the past 2 weeks, and there's literally some of us that are struggling in times of worship where the enemy comes and our flesh is giving us thoughts, foul thoughts, when we are supposed to be worshiping God. I want to say to us this morning that the power of the living God lives inside of us. We do not have to take it. I feel like some of us are just giving up the fight. You are in the faith, but you are not in the fight, as Wilma Rea used to say. You've been beaten, you are on the ropes, and I want to say this morning that the power of Jesus resides inside of you. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. And I want to say, if we believe, and maybe you can by show of hands, do you believe that Jesus' blood is powerful enough to save you from your sin, or to forgive you from sin? The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? We believe that, all of us. Now, how many of us believe that in the same way as Jesus is able to forgive us our sins, that he's also to keep us from sinning? That the power of the resurrected Christ is not just strong enough to save us and to forgive us when we have sinned, but he is also powerful and strong enough to keep us from sinning. That we do not need to give in to the desires of the flesh when it comes knocking. Amen. Jesus is powerful. If we sing that he is alive, it's not just wonderful lyrics to a song that we sing. He is alive in us. And his power is at work within us. That we are able to say no to sin, and that we are able to say yes to God. And that when I come here in the morning to worship God, and nothing in me wants to worship, nothing in me wants to sing, that he's worthy, that he is great, and that I've just had a fight with my wife, and I don't feel like worshiping him, there's power inside of me that I can say no. I will not entertain these thoughts. I will take these thoughts captive by the power of Jesus that lives inside of me, and I will worship the living God. We give in too easily. We are in a battle, guys. And God has given us all the weapons of warfare for us to fight and to serve him faithfully. Okay, so consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And then verse 13 goes on to say that we do not only just consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in terms of our identity before him, But there's also a presenting ourselves that needs to take place. Verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So maybe for some of us this morning, you sit here and you consider yourself a believer. You consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God, but you do not present yourself to Him. It's not enough for us to just consider ourselves. We also need to give ourselves. Present yourself to God. Romans 12 verse 1 to 2 says, and I want you to hear this as an appeal to you this morning. I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You want to worship God? Present yourself. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Present yourselves to Him this morning. And so you may ask yourself, how do I present myself to God this morning? What does that look like? After I've considered myself as one who is dead to sin and alive to God, what does that look like? How do I present myself to God? And there's three things that I want to highlight for us this morning in terms of how we can present ourselves to God. And this is a daily thing. When you open your eyes in the morning, that opening of your eyes is a reset button. It means that you start over again. And that none of us come to a place in our walk with God that we graduate. That now I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I don't need to pray anymore. I know so much about Jesus that I just don't need to ask Him for the Holy Spirit. Wow, God, would you open our eyes to show us our dire need of you? That without you, we can truly do nothing. When you open your eyes in the morning, that's a reset button, an opportunity for you to repent once again. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for these thoughts, these desires, these actions. I bring them before you. Would you fill me once again with your Spirit that I may really walk in step with your Spirit? And so the three things that we come and we present to God on a daily basis, beloved, is firstly, we bring our head. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached on worship, and I preached about giving our head and giving our heart. And now I've added a third one, our hands. Okay, so we give our head, we give our heart, and we give our hands to the Lord. So what do I mean when I say our head? It means we give God our thought life. The things that we dwell on, the things that we think about, are they saturated and informed by the reality of who God is? Or do we entertain thoughts that do not honor Christ? The Bible says that we have been given weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but they are there to bring down strongholds, to take thoughts captive and make them obedient to the knowledge and the rulership of Christ. And so I want to ask and throw this out to us. Are we still taking thoughts captive? Or have we just given up the fight? Are we taking thoughts captive and making it obedient to the authority of Jesus? This is how we present our thoughts to the Lord. Amen? Number two, our heart. Oh, this one. Does Jesus still have your heart? Do you daily present your desires before Him? The Bible says that if we place Him first, He will give us the desires of our heart. If we seek Him first, 9 out of 10 times when we seek Him, we also see that our desires begin to change. And that we begin to desire the things that God desires for our lives. Are we still presenting our hearts to Him? Or has the pride of life, the desire for riches, has that taken root in our hearts? Has that captured our affection for Jesus? Or are we still presenting it to Him as a holy sacrifice before Him? Say, yeah, these are my members, God. I present them to You. Our head and our heart. And when those two things are given fully to God and submitted under His rulership and His reign, then our hands naturally, it will follow that. What do our actions look like? What do our deeds look like? Are we pausing before we act on anything? Before we speak a word that comes out of our mouth, has it been saturated with who Jesus is? So that when we speak words to one another, that it builds one another up. That we've been charged to love one another and to honor one another. That we still choose to put others first. That as Jesus sets an example, Philippians 2, as Jesus sets an example for us, that we do not consider ourselves higher than others, but that we consider others more important than ourselves. That we esteem others higher than ourselves, and we seek the benefit of others first rather than our own benefit. This is the way of Jesus. This is the cross life. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Present yourselves before Him wholeheartedly. Present your members, your thoughts, your desires, and your deeds. Present those before Him. For He is worthy that we present those to Him. Amen. I want us to respond this morning to the Lord. And there's two responses that I felt for us this morning. And the first one is, maybe some of us here this morning need to consider ourselves and our standing before the Lord. Maybe some of us in this room this morning are not in the faith at all. And everything that I've shared here this morning means nothing. Makes no sense. Romans 8 says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They are hostile to God. And maybe there's some of us here this morning that really need to consider our salvation before the Lord. That on this weekend when we celebrate and reflect on the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus, that maybe you are here this morning and it's maybe just for you the right thing to do because it is Easter Sunday. And out of the two Sundays that you come to church in a year, Easter is one of them and Christmas is the next one. But really, that we would really consider ourselves this morning. Are we truly dead to sin? Have we really died with Him? And are we truly alive to God? That's the first group. And the second group, and maybe this is most of us this morning, and I include myself here, that we need to ask ourselves, are we still presenting ourselves to the Lord? That we are in the faith, that we come faithfully on a Sunday, but we are no longer in the fight. That we have taken up our lives once again, and that we are doing our own thing. That we don't devote our thoughts to the Lord anymore. That we don't devote our hearts to Him anymore. And as a result of that, it's not reflected in our deeds. That if people from outside should just spend 2 hours with us at a braai or at a kuier, the things that comes out of our mouth would not look any different to those who are in the world. It means that we have stopped presenting ourselves. And so maybe we can just close our eyes before the Lord this morning and Just take a moment to reflect, in which category do you fall this morning? I think maybe for all of us, we need to consider and present ourselves once again. Let's just take a few moments, just between you and the Lord.